Well, Pastor Jim is with our All Church Leaders meeting tonight in the multipurpose hall, and it's a privilege to open the Word with you. I would talk with him some about Revelation chapter 12 that we're going to go into tonight. I told him, you know, some things can happen in the book of Revelation that really, you know, you don't know if you're going to say it right or not. And if my Assemblies of God credentials get called into question tonight, will you stand up for me? And he assured me he would. It seems like chapter 12 is not one of those controversial chapters. So tonight we have something that I believe God can feed us with and strengthen us with, because it really is a chapter that is kind of a time frame that's different from chapter 11 and chapter 13. Chapter 12 comes in here to give us a type of unveiling of the heavenly warfare that has really affected everything that has gone on the earth and is going on the earth, and a lot of things that will go on the earth are shown tonight in chapter 12. Because of the warfare that goes on in heaven, the conflict going on earth between God's plan and the devil's attempt to thwart that plan. Just to review a little bit, during these recent weeks, Pastor has brought to us these chapters in the book of Revelation that unfolded the seven seals, that the Lamb of God himself broke those seals, and it showed us great suffering and destruction. And the wrath of God begins to come upon the people on the earth during that time of a part of the tribulation period. And then the trumpets that were sounded by the angels following the breaking of those seven seals, the trumpets that began to sound brought forth even more of the destruction in nature and in conflict of peoples on the earth. And in the wrath of God being poured out on the earth against that rebellious rebellion against God's plan, God's Son, God's will, God's revelation, and all of that being rejected, all of that being rebelled against on the earth for century after century, finally has a statement from God through the judgments that come upon the earth to say, you have rebelled against me, you have rejected me, you should not have betrayed and done away with my word, my Son, my people, and here is the result of your rebellion. And all that has been pent up through the age of grace of God and the saving of rebellious people and the redeeming of our souls and bringing us back to God out of rebellion and bringing us out of sin and loosing us from the clutches of the results of sin and freeing us from the devil's bondage, all of that then suddenly takes a turn on the earth then to being judgment and destruction and suffering. So in the 11th chapter, we saw for the first time the revealing of the Antichrist beast upon the earth, where he attacks those two witnesses when they finished their prophesying of things that God had those two witnesses saying on the earth and prophesying on the earth, and powerful presence of those witnesses on the earth, where devouring fire came out from them and destroyed people that resisted their witness and their prophecies. But when it says they completed their prophesyings, then the beast, the Antichrist, was able to overcome them and kill them. And the peoples all over the world were able to see their bodies lying in the street for 3 days until suddenly they were taken up into heaven, given life and taken up into heaven. My, don't you just see something about through all of this? God has a plan that will be carried out. He's in control. He is not giving up that control to anybody. God is going to work his work. We are watching. We're in the midst of something going on. We are made aware of what's going to happen in the future. But God does not give up his control to anyone. God is powerful enough to stay in control. And he's our God. And he loves us. He cares about us. When we go into chapter 12, then, we kind of come to this break in the flow between chapter 11 and chapter 13 of the activity of the beast, the Antichrist. So let's begin to read together. If you have your Bibles and they're open with me, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, beginning at verse 1, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Let's stop there a moment. So there's a sign that John the Revelator sees in heaven, or in his revelation of what's happening in the heavens. And he says, I see that woman who's a symbol of something here on earth, a sign. Verse 2, she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. So let's just stop and think about first these 6 verses. This woman having this birth of the man-child who is described as ruling all nations with an iron scepter has to be Israel. Some could even say, well, it's the mother of Jesus. She gave birth to Jesus. But you see the difference when you see the 3.5 years, 1260 days that it's talking about the woman being given a place of safety by God, prepared for her by God. And so that's not a picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, having 3.5 years of safety. That's not brought out in the Word of God. But Israel in the day of the Great Tribulation, as God intervenes, is brought out in other places in Scripture as given protection for 3.5 years. In fact, it's referred to later in this chapter as well. So this woman and these 12 stars on her head representing the 12 tribes of Israel, no doubt. This woman is one who is doing something that the devil, Satan, this dragon who is identified in verse 9 as the devil, Satan. Satan wants to devour the child being born. So here we have the picture of God's plan for Israel to be the one prepared through the centuries until the time is fulfilled. The time is just right. And the birth of the one who is to rule the nations with an iron scepter takes place. And we know he is the Christ, Jesus. Psalm 2 verses 7 to 9 are almost identical wording to this ruling of the nations. Verse 7, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. Psalm 2 verse 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, capital S-O-N. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You shall rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. What words from the psalmist. What prophecy. what revelation God gave him of what was to come. And here John the Revelator is seeing that sign, that symbol in the heavens, and that represents the activity on earth of Israel being the one that God chose as his people to bring forth his son on the earth. What a God we serve. What a great God. What a great plan. And what a great power he has to bring it to pass. And Jesus, the Christ, born of Israel, and given the power he had upon the earth for those 33 years. And then the scripture here in this very verse itself, in verse 5, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne, the ascension of Jesus from the earth. There was something that began to well up in my heart about that a couple of years ago, and I wrote it down as these words. The risen Christ stood one day prepared to leave his own. He comforted them and earnestly spoke, "You will not stay alone. I'm sending the Holy Spirit who knows your need, your heart. He will inspire. Just give him room. Don't fear or fret. He will fill you with his fire." Then suddenly the work was done. No need to linger here. The clouds prepared to pass him through. Heaven's welcome awaiting there. The distance traveled. No cause for delay. The speed of light, no issue. When suddenly he neared a city, prepared to give honor he was due. Then suddenly the work was done. Oh, those coming out to meet him could only sing and shout, "We welcome you, exalted King of love." The honor that they felt in drawing near to him is known only to those above. As he entered the city and looked toward the throne, no one could imagine his feeling, for there in view of all who could see was his Father near angels who were kneeling. It seemed like a day, no, a year, maybe two, with no way to measure the glory as the two sat together and the union they shared as Jesus related his story. A hush through the heavens, a peace never known, for suddenly they saw in his hand some scars and some keys to the Father were shown. "I went as you sent me," the Savior reported. "Some took me into their souls. I found through obedience to all that you wanted. I had power no prison could hold. So here are the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I was able to take down the proud one. He thought he could hold on to all that he wanted, but he saw how the victory was won. Not force and obsession, not blast and devour, but careful attention to hearing. Then came the sure promise, the word of the Father, 'I'm pleased, you their sins fully bearing. I am proud of you, my son. You are all that I hoped for and more. So now receive honor and glory above, even greater than ever before.'" Oh, I'll tell you, when I felt those words just rising up in my heart and feeling like I was getting a glimpse into heaven almost, it just thrilled me and filled me and overwhelmed me and overflowed me to think of the reunion of Jesus with the Father in heaven. And her son was snatched up to God and to his throne. And then the woman, it says, flees into the desert to a place prepared by whom? Prepared for her by God. Look at God's activity with Israel. Israel not only means here to me tonight a nation of 12 tribes and a place in the Middle East, But something's going to happen from here on throughout the chapter that also looks at the offspring of Israel that are spoken of as those who obey God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. But this woman that is a symbol of Israel here on earth, being cared for and taken care of for 1260 days, and then the revelation changes. I saw war in heaven. Michael and his angels, verse 7, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So there is the activity in the heavens when the devil was rebelling against what God wanted and Satan sought to overthrow God's plan in the heavenly realm. He was seeking to defeat the other angels. But Michael, who is called in the Bible the guardian of Israel, Michael fights against Satan with the angels that help Michael and follow Michael. And they war against the devil. Michael is also called in Jude, the one who contends for the body of Moses. Michael has this activity in the heavens against the devil. And it says he overpowered the devil. Michael overpowered the devil. And the angels with Michael overpowered the angels that were with the devil. Isn't it great to see how God has those faithful ones like Michael and Gabriel, who are able to enforce the will of God, and no power in heaven or in earth can change the will of God. He is greater. He's our God. He loves us. He cares for us. Thank God for his revelation tonight. So then it says there began to be voices heard. Verse 10, then I heard a voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Now that sounds to me like there is no more place for the devil in heaven. He has been an accuser of the brothers. But when this warfare took place, that the devil and a third of his angels lost their place before God, apparently the devil no longer has any place in heaven. He has no way to go before God accusing the brothers. I don't know for sure, but it seems to me there's a revelation here saying that he was hurled down to the earth. And then they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Martyrs on the earth for Christ. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. The devil is active on the earth. The devil is active here in Springfield, Missouri. The devil is active where our children live. The devil is active where our grandchildren are. But it says here, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank the Lord for revealing to us the power of the blood and the power of testimony of Jesus. Oh, it's God's way. It's God's doings. It's not that we're powerful enough to give some testimony that does it. It's that God has put a power in the testimony to Jesus that overcomes the devil. It's God's power at work through the believer that is active with the armor of God upon the believer and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That testimony of Jesus that we give is a part of that activity of the believer. And it says God has put some power into that that is so great that it overcomes the devil. There's something about the blood that is so powerful that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's God's doings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's another time to just stop and say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just thank Him and praise Him for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, we don't deserve this kind of revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance and the faith that we feel in our hearts as we realize what power you have put in the blood of the Lamb and in the word of our testimony. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. We believe that represents 3.5 years, 1 year plus 2 years plus a half a year. A time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Isn't that interesting? The power of God to care for His people during the great tribulation when the Antichrist and the devil's work through the Antichrist is trying to destroy that nation that had brought forth, those people that had brought forth the Christ child. But it says God cares for those people that had brought forth the Christ child and cares for them a time and times and a half a time out of the serpent's reach, out of the dragon's reach. God is so great. So here on the same earth where the dragon, the devil, is active in this way, and increasingly so, and as his fury increases, as his time is short, and as the end of this age and the tribulation period begins and continues, with all of that activity that the devil can have, God comes on this same planet and plants his people in a place where they are out of the devil's reach. That's just a great God. You know, when it says God placed prepared a place for her in the desert, isn't that a picture of God having the desert for Israel to go into out of Egypt's bondage and to go through the desert to get to the promised land? And God had a place of a desert where provisions were made for his people until they were able to possess the promised land. God has a way of, right here on the earth, using what's available to bless his people in the final preparation for what God is going to do at the end. Well, the serpent in verse 15, the dragon, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Now, all of that kind of timing and all of that kind of thing that's going on and just who those are that have the testimony of Jesus, that is the part where God is just going to reveal that at the time it's happening. And if it's the offspring of Israel, then we know it's the people of Israel who have become believers, and they are a part of those who are giving the testimony of Jesus on the earth while the Antichrist is trying to destroy them. So this is chapter 12, huh? Just wait till you see chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, and hold on to your seats. Hasn't the pastor been doing just the best job in the book of Revelation that we have heard? I just am so blessed through his preaching in the book of Revelation. And you know, just looking at what might be God's strongest message out of this chapter tonight for you and me, I couldn't get away from saying that for me it has to focus on that verse that talks about overcoming the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And seeing God in control and seeing him not give up control to the devil or anyone else, and seeing that Satan's defeat is definite. And knowing that in all of this, really, Jesus promises that his finished victory matters more than any persecution that you and I would have while we live on earth right now. And we don't have these things happening that we've just been going through in the book of Revelation, the plagues and the great wrath of God being poured out on the earth. That is not happening now. And by the grace of God, we will be caught up, for it's not appointed unto us to have the wrath of God upon us, the Bible says. All of that timing God will work out. But for us to realize, you just trust in the blood of the Lamb and the word of God through you and his testimony of Jesus. The devil's going to make war against those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Yes, he's going to make war. Yes, yes, he wants to destroy people. Yes, he wants to destroy faith. Yes, he would like to take you down in discouragement and despair. Yes, he would like to try to make you turn back and trample upon the blood of Christ and go back into a life of sin. Yes, the devil would like to take you down with drugs and things that would bind up your body. Yes, the devil would like to trick you into immorality and cause you to lose your influence and your place in the family of God. Yes, the devil is making war, but the Bible says to us, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. And you know, in the sight of God, that's the most important thing that's ever been done for us, was when Jesus was willing to lay down on that cross on his own. I don't believe anybody pushed him down. He got down there and he laid down and he stretched out his arms and he loved us enough that through that act of surrender and taking our judgment of our sins upon himself, God has put a claim upon us as we trust in Jesus. You place your faith in Jesus, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will be more than conquerors for me. So tonight, as we close this time together, we're going to begin to worship the Lord and sing his praises and his word. As Glenda comes, we're going to think together about the blood will never lose its power. Yes, amen. What a song put into music. What words put into music. Thank God for it. Let's stand together. Let's begin to sing it. Let's just see how God wants to continue tonight to strengthen you. Let's just see how God wants to tonight continue to bless you with faith for the overcoming life. Faith that you will not yield and give in to temptation. Whatever persecution you're going to face, whatever's going to happen to us or our children or our grandchildren, God is greater. Whatever temptation, whatever persecution the devil is trying to do to take your grandchild down a path of sin, God is greater. When Jesus laid down his life, the power of the blood is greater than anything the devil has to throw against your grandchild. The power of the blood. And I believe in even as we sing it as a word of our testimony and song, the power of it is going to cause something to happen to those that we love and those that are a part of our families and a part of the family of God.